Thank the Lord for his presence. His refreshing. There's nothing like it in this world. I'm just going to read you Jim's message this morning, and then we're going to play the message that he chose. As most of you know, it's been a really tough week for us in many ways. He was really sick from all of the effects of the treatment that he's on. But he's also really, really stubborn. And he wouldn't go to the doctor, wouldn't even call, because he knew that he was sick and that if he called or he went to the hospital, that they would keep him and he would miss Sunday. So you can't blame him too much. Maybe. Okay, well, here is his greeting and his message before we play his sermon. Greetings to everyone. I find myself in the hospital yet again on a Sunday due to severe weakness and quite a few other medical issues that needed attention. You think? I will be released a little later today. And we received such a great report last week about the leukemia cells in the bone marrow being less than 1%, especially compared to when we started this treatment months ago. While I've been in the hospital, the doctors continue to tell us what a great report it is and that all of our blood numbers are great. The round of treatment that I'm on now is expected to be even more effective eradicating the cells, although the side effects have been really severe this time and are what caused this hospital stay. I thank you so much for your prayers and your love, and I'm continually praying for you as well. For as you know, you've heard me say many times, we need each other's prayers. My message today is not directly related to Labor Day, but it is about the biggest job that we have as Christians, and that is to praise our God. I hope you're blessed and encouraged by these words once again until I can be with you in person again. Love, Jim. And this was originally preached January 13th, and I will say he was already very sick during this time, January 13th of this year. And it's called High Praise and High Places.
Thank you. Well, I've got a new message. It's High Praise and High Places. And I'm going to start in Psalms 48. This is a song that we sing oftentimes. Psalms 48, 1 through 3. I appreciate Debbie's sharing with us and pray that the Lord help us with new things. I pray for us to have a revelation of Jesus. What is that? I want us to see more and more and more and more of who Jesus is. Now, during prayer, we didn't pray for anyone. We will after the service. But for right now, let's focus on the greatness of our God. That's what I want to get across. God is in control. He is the boss. I've heard kids arguing and they'll say, you're not the boss of me. How many's ever heard that? You're not the boss of me. I think some adults kind of feel that way too. Even if it is the boss of you, it's hard to be bossed around. But Jesus is the boss to the bosses. He is the boss of the bosses. The scripture says in Psalm 48, 1 through 3, great is the Lord. I know some people don't agree with that. I don't care. I don't care. Because I'm not speaking to someone else, I'm speaking to you, and I want you and I to agree today that our God is great. How many will agree with me on that? God is great and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful in elevation. I like that today, elevation in height. The joy of the old earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north in the city of the great king, the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this scripture and the others we're going to read. Lord, show your greatness to this church today. I can only talk about it, but you can demonstrate it. And I pray, Lord, that you'll touch every mind, every heart, and let us know that in this world that we live in, where there is so much darkness, where there's so much rebellion and argument, so much looking to you and absolutely defying you and your word, let us know you're the boss. You're the great one. There's no other above you. You're the only God, and you're our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sing this song. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. And it says in the King James Version, beautiful for situation. He is high and lifted up. He is in the highest place. A number of years ago, a brother felt led to take people to a highest place in San Jose and around the area and pray and praise there. Now, God's never laid that on my heart, but I accept what he said and the inspiration. He's done very well in his church. And I understand high and lifted up. So I went to the highest place in the church this morning to pray, and that's the pastor's office. Not because it's a pastor's office, but because it's on the second floor. It's not always been the pastor's office. It used to be a kind of a overflow and a balcony. And then it became a Sunday school room, and it became a library for a while, but is the highest place in our church. I'm working on a job that's two stories tall. When you get on top of it, there is a flat area, and you can see a lot from that high place. Mount Diablo, I'm sorry to mention Mount Diablo, but that's the devil's mountain over there. But it's just a little ways away, and you see it so clear on a high place. What I want us to understand is that God is the highest and that we need to keep elevating him in our lives. We need that. You say to God's big ego? No. We need that. So in Psalms 47, 1 and 2, it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Well, I don't feel triumph. Let's practice triumph and see what God can do. It says, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all of the earth. Excuse me just a second. For us, it's such a great benefit that we know this God who is so awesome and so great. Sometimes our circumstances make us feel like God's on our level, and God can't help us because of what we're running up against. But I want us to know today that God has never been on our level, that His thoughts are so much greater than ours. His ways are so much greater than ours. That God has always been way high above all things of this earth. And even though He's been so high and lifted up, He has not used His lofty position to keep us down, but rather He has also brought us up to be with Him and to elevate our lives. Lately, I found that I felt like God needed some advice. There's some people that aggravate me to no end. If I named them, you might share them. But if I named them, you might also think that's your favorite person in the world. So no names. But I've given God five names. I said, Lord, it'd be a much better world without those people. And the Lord said, that's not your job. I wanted to help God out. I really wanted to help our country out. But God said, that's not your job. Your job is to elevate me and lift me up. Oh, but I've seen politicians almost anti-God right in God's face. What I want to tell you today is God's the boss. Of every one of those politicians, God's in charge. How about these communist leaders, Lord? They've kicked you out of their country, and they think they're so special. God's the boss over the communist leaders. I can name a few of them, and you'd probably agree. It doesn't matter who they are, what world leaders, dictators, or whoever. They may be the dictator of their country, but they're not the dictator over and above God. God is in charge. The rich who think because they have billions of dollars that they can dictate policy to the rest of the world, they're not in charge. The celebrities that because they are an actor, an actress, or sing or do something, they think they can tell everybody else how to live and what to believe, they're not in charge. The athletes who have done very well and won different awards and bowl games and ball games and all of this, they're not in charge. God is the boss over all. God is the one that should be lifted up. I want to read to you out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, 1 verse 15. The reason I'm reading this one verse is because the other verses, God is telling Israel or Judah, hey, why in the world are you worshiping idols? Why do you keep going back to those false gods? We hear a lot about fake news, right? And that's in the secular world, fake news, fake news. There used to be a throw around the church that was a gray, silvery color, and it was furry. You know, a fake fur will still keep you warm because it kind of resembles what a fur is. But news that is fake is really false. A God that is fake, and the God may resemble our, have some attributes of our God, but a fake God is a false God. An idol is absolutely worthless. And there is only one, our God. Verse 15 says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. He has no beginning. He has no end. Whose name is holy. Have you noticed how holy and high kind of work together? With him, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In the middle of God speaking judgment upon Judah for their unfaithfulness to him, he gives them a hope. He said, I'm the high and lofty one. I'm the one that you've ignored to go after the lowly things of this earth that mean absolutely nothing and cannot help you. I'm going to send you in captivity, into captivity, and you will realize who is in charge. He said, but if you had a contrite spirit, if you had a repentant heart, I could save you. I could deliver you. And you know what? That message is still good today, that God, in the middle of rebuke, can pull us out if we will just repent and turn from the wickedness. The great revival scripture that says that we've got to turn from evil and turn back to him with prayer and a broken heart, he will revive, he will save. There's a lot of faults out there. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of religion that takes people away from the truth of who God is. God is in charge. He's the Holy One. He's the Mighty One. He's the biggest. He's the most. He's everything that is large. He's everything that is powerful. He is almighty. He is all sufficient. And there's no lacking in our God. There's always been lacking in me, but there's never been lacking in him. One more section of scripture, Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. And this is the calling of Isaiah into his prophetic work. In the year that King Uzziah died, year 759 BC approximately, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two he flew. Wow. That's some coordination, isn't it? Walking and chewing gums is a challenge to me, but this seraphim had great control. And one cried to another, and they said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of them who cried out, by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So there is a theme running, holy and high. Our God is holy, and yet he's not used his holiness to push us away, but draw us close and impute his holiness into our lives. Give us holiness. We didn't have any. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. His holiness is our holiness. He's made us holy to be like him. So these 2.5 points, that is, God is the highest. There's a song that says there's no God like Jehovah. And I like that song, but I have just one more improvement to it. There is no God but Jehovah. There is no God except our God. And in the face of every obstacle, our God reigns. Our God is the best. Our God is the highest. He is the boss to the bosses. And then number two is we need to lift him to the highest place in our lives. Oh, Holy One, Mighty God. When I taught the boys to pray, the first prayer that, well, one of the prayers that we had was over dinner. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. I know a lot of people, you know, well, that's just a set prayer. You need to pray from your heart. Any prayer to me is kind of cool. But when we went to bed, our prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I'm going to tell you, that one, I'm not so wild about the end of that. If I should die before I wake, I mean, what is that? But, I mean, there's a truth and a validity to it. But, so when I taught our boys to pray, I taught, number one, bless everybody. Pray for grandma and grandpa, uncles and aunts, cousins, the church, the pastor. We always went to church. And then I said at the end of it, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory, good night. It was rarely good night and all is well. Generally, it was running up and down, and my boys never wanted water until it was bedtime. Then they had to have water. They were the thirstiest two I've ever seen. Then Donnie got smart and mixed him some water with food coloring and some other things, and he set it by the bedside. I wouldn't have touched that with a 10-foot pole out of a shampoo bottle. Boy, would he ever like this deal. But they wanted the water. But the reason I taught them to pray that way is because I wanted them to be remembering other people other themselves. And these words are kind of the Pentecostal language. But folks, what I'm telling you is we need to improve our language. We need to expand our language, and we need to be able to lift him high with every resource and power that we can. We need to lift him to the highest place. So 2.2b is our praise needs to be at the highest form of praise, which we should also include the speaking in tongues and in the Spirit. Now, in the Spirit, you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and be speaking a language understood by everybody, but you can also go into that heavenly language that is real. And the Bible says we give thanks well and that we call upon the Lord for the needs that we have very well. We're more effective in some things in that way. Normally, I share a song with you. I got four. You say, well, why in the world do you have four? Well, because when you start thinking about lifting up the Lord, there's a lot of songs. And I didn't include the one the choir used to sing that the tabernacle used to do, High and Lifted Up. Wow, that was a great song. But I missed it. But boy, I didn't miss this one. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you come to save us. Now this repeats quite a bit, but I like every time it does. I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises. There's no greater way than to lift him on high than to sing his praises. And then it says why we lift him up. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's going to get to God around me. I am the way. From the cross, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He gave his life for our sins, and we live sin-free because of him. From the cross to the grave and the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. I love that. a song that we learned a few years ago, "We Place You in the Highest Place." And I like this song. I like the music and I like the words. And it, again, is a repeat. I think there's only one verse, but we repeated it. We did it different. We made a good arrangement out of it, and we sang in the choir. "We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet." Everything of placing the Lord high is worshiping him for who he is and his greatness. Boy, I almost forgot one there. So I looked this one up, and my computer went on a different setting and messed me up a little bit. But it's, "Wherever I am, I'll praise him." Wherever I am, I'll praise him. In the high place, upstairs there. If you want to go upstairs and pray, that's fine. It's cold. Heat's not on. It'll be hot in the summer. Wherever you are, you can praise him. "Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus." Why? Because the name of Jesus lifted me. I'm going to praise him. Speaking of the next song, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to. That's the way it's written. I didn't write it. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to sing of my joy since he came. I'm going to tell of his power. I like that. Power. I'm going to tell of his power. Every day and every hour, I'm going to lift up that wonderful name. These are good songs, and there's dozens of others about lifting up our Lord. He's the boss. He's the best. He's the greatest. Don't let the devil tell us anything else, because the devil is fake news, false news. He's a liar. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the only way." Our God reigns. He is the highest. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And he, according to his word, has asked for nobody's advice. And he's told me specifically, "I don't need that. I don't need your advice. I got things under control. You need to praise me." I want to praise him. I want to do a better job every day. I want 2019 to be the best praise year I've ever had. I want to exalt the Lord. I want to shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Amen? Because our God reigns. He's the highest. And I can lift him up. There's been times even with my squeaky, hoarse voice, I can still lift him up. You can't hear me sing anymore. Oh, I used to make a lot of noise. But I'll still lift up the name of Jesus. I can do that. You can do that. You say, "Well, I'm awfully weak." I understand that, but you can lift him up. You can lift him up. We can. We can't change the world. We can't slap the world politics and all the players of the world into doing the right thing. That would be nice if we could, but we can't. But even in our weakness, even in our inability, we can lift up our Savior. And then he will lift me up. He saved me, he's delivered me, he's healed me, and he's brought blessing to my life, and I honor him today. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And there is nothing and no one that compares to him. Amen. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for the revelation of who you are. You said you want to see the Father. Look at me, and we've looked at you, and we adore you, Lord, and we honor you. We honor the Father. We honor the Spirit. We honor our God. We magnify you, Jesus, and we lift your name on high. We exalt who you are and your greatness and your power. And we call on you to look upon us today in our situations and our needs and help us. Lord, we have different kinds of needs. Different kinds of needs. But help us. Help us, Lord, in every situation. Your great mercy. Your great power. Hallelujah. Just keep praying, and I'm going to pray for some folks today.
Oh. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today. And we want to just place you in the highest place each and every day, each and every opportunity we get, because you are the boss. You are the Savior. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's no better reason for us to gather than just to lift you up and worship you. There's nothing better we can do than to offer you our praise and our worship. And it could never be enough, but we will never stop, Lord Jesus, lifting our hands to you in honor and praise and placing you in the highest place in our lives. We pray that you bless each one of us this week, Lord God. Continue to strengthen those needing strength. And we trust in you for the miracles, Lord God, that we need. We trust in you, Jesus, that you have your hands on every situation. You see us, and you know us, and you know our need better than we know our need. And we put our faith and trust in you to meet those needs and for your will to be done in our lives and in our church. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.